Hello and welcome back to Bingeable. Happy holidays. Lucy and I have decided to revive our podcast because there's just way too many good shows coming out. So once again, we are Emmy and Lucy, and we are here to talk about all the things we missed in the last like 6 months we were away.
Woohoo! This is going to be, there were so many times over the past 6 months where we've been like, oh, we have to talk about that. We have to talk about that. And we just couldn't get it together. And now we're going to do a little recap of everything that we loved and hated in 2022, last half of the year, and then, you know, hopefully keep it going in the new year and just, you know, be back to our old podcasty selves.
Well, I feel like we took it a little for, like, during, you know, the first few years of COVID, mm-hmm. we had so much more time to watch TV and do this, and now that our lives are kind of back to a bit of a normal schedule, it's been quite a challenge. But we never forgot about our first love, television.
Never. Television, it's what keeps us alive.
So here we are today.
Here we are. Maybe we should just start with our number one of recent weeks, months, years, which is The White Lotus Season 2. We never did Season 1, also, something that we just never got around to doing, which we also both watched and also both loved.
Yeah.
But I have to say, I liked Season 2 even more.
I was shocked because I thought Season 1 was pretty perfect and this pretty, like, the most, you know, escapism and just obviously being in Hawaii and being a resort of vacationers. It was just such a fun trip that we had never taken before. And I also at the time thought it was pretty perfect. So I was shocked when I thought Season 2 did even better than Season 1.
I totally agree. I also think it's so fun because the first one came out and it was kind of peak COVID. Like you said, we just all wanted to escape and be in a vacation world, which was so fun. But this year, obviously, things are a little bit different. The world is a little more open. But I still felt just as obsessed with the idea of being in Italy and the escape and the vacation element of it, even though it wasn't, you know, coming from like a COVID-y place anymore. I just wanted to watch every single day. I missed every, you know, weekday that we weren't watching it. I missed it. And I was like, I wish it was Sunday. Like, I can't wait to be back in Sicily.
It brought back like the golden age of TV for me because I feel like so often now you obviously get a binge. So you don't have to wait every single week and you get it all at once. Remember back, especially when we were in like high school and even college, having to wait every single week. I feel like especially for like back in the day, a WB or like a CW show or an HBO show, if my parents let me watch it, like just the excitement of like the buildup, and then you have like 1 hour of content and then you're just devastated because it's over. It usually leaves off on like a cliffhanger, mm-hmm. and then you have to wait until the next week. Obviously, like I remember TGIT as Shonda Rhimes' night.
I'm
a huge fan of Shonda Rhimes.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like The White Lotus brought that back for me completely because it's been so long since everyone got together on the couch to watch something.
Completely. And I also feel like what was really fun about this season, which kind of existed in the first one, but I don't think nearly as much as it did with this one, was the meme culture around it and the internet and the TikTok of it all. I feel like every single person was watching this season, or if they weren't, they were like, oh, I know, I have to watch it. It was everywhere. You were seeing memes about Portia's outfits and Tanya and recaps, you know, TikToks and all this stuff. And I feel like it just got everybody more and more and more and more into it. And it just kept the anticipation. And it was just so fun. There's so many storylines and characters that they had to balance. And I never at any point didn't care about one storyline. I wasn't like annoyed when we cut back to somebody else's. I just was invested in all of them.
Well, and this year, what's even more fun, like what we were talking about, is that you can actually go on vacation. I will not be going to the White Lotus Sicily specifically because I looked it up. It's about like $2,000 a night.
Oh, perfect.
But,
great.
You know, just imagining yourself and it wasn't like such a pipe dream anymore.
The costumes were incredible. Like Tanya's outfits every single night, Portia's Gen Z insanity, Daphne, who I'm obsessed with, just her bright poppy color, like every element of the production design, the costume design, obviously the writing is Beyond, the music, like every department, every element of the show
went all out,
and it just was working.
And just the fact that they like shot this for 5 months actually living at a resort in Italy, like I feel, we talked about this before, but I think like if I could be on any show, it would be The White Lotus, just because I can't even imagine how much fun it was to shoot.
Oh, totally.
Which is why all the cast gossip is all the hookups, because how could you not? I mean, you're just 5 months stuck in this like waterfront resort in the middle of Italy, loving life, eating pasta and drinking wine for 5 months.
The dream.
And then you're about to blow up and become so famous. So yeah. You're just like really living the high life.
I felt like the first season was a really new, fresh, original sort of concept where it's kind of partly the Downton Abbey upstairs, downstairs thing where, you know, you're with the guests and then you're also with the people that work in the resort. And in the first season, you're like, oh, okay, so this is a show about people who are rich on vacation and they're white people and they act badly. And how does the staff and the people that live in this place sort of react? And what are those dynamics? And I was like, great, love it. So into it. And then this season, it felt even more lived in and so much more depth, and the characters were all dealing with like sexual politics and relationship politics, and there was just even more to it that made it that much more fun.
And we obviously love The Power of Sex. I mean, that's basically how we started this podcast, with normal people.
100%.
I just couldn't have been better.
I didn't know Theo James.
Cameron.
I think he's so hot. Do you think he's hot? Like, were we into him?
I don't even think that's a question. Okay. I don't know. Of course. Oh, my God. That scene, number one, I'm absolutely obsessed with Daphne.
Oh, my God.
I think she, like, stole the season.
Yes.
But we can talk about her in a minute. But that scene where he's, like, trying on outfits in the dressing room and she's, like, cracking up and he, like, comes out and is, like, just his outfits underwear. I feel like it's so, you know, we don't often always get, like, a male dressing that kind of excitedly on vacation. I feel like he just worked every outfit. There were so many prints and patterns and sunglasses. And he is smoking hot. I don't know. His tan.
So good.
Where do we begin?
Yeah.
And he was always shirtless, so that helped. Did you read the funniest story about when he went full frontal and he said to Mike White, like, they were like, you're going to wear a prosthetic. And he was like, okay, perfect. Like, just make it normal, whatever, you know, you think. And then they, like, bring it to him. And he's like, wait, is this what you thought normal was? And then he's like, and now that's just what people think I look like. And it's not bad.
I also just live for Daphne and live for Aubrey Plaza. I mean, my queen.
And their dynamic was so perfect. So Daphne, I knew Megan Fahey because she was on The Bold Type, which is just the most delightful freeform show. And she was kind of the standout and the star of that. And she was just so endearing and lovable. And it's about three girls who like work at like a cosmopolitan type magazine. She just always looked like such a sweetheart. And then on this, I had no idea kind of what to expect from her, what was coming. Her ability to just like act with her expressions, her ability to like so, you know, plainly say such an outrageous thing, especially like showing Aubrey Plaza the phone. And she was also her outfits. She was just like the it girl of this season. And
she really was.
Worked it.
She really was. I feel like it's kind of, when I was watching her, I was like, this is a sort of Alexis Rose adjacent situation where you could have had an actress who's not as good and they would have sort of made that a very stereotypical role and there probably wouldn't have been that much depth and it would have been fine. You would have been like, oh, I know who this person is. But she just brought so much depth to it. Like you said, her expressions, and you could read on her face exactly what she was thinking, and she was so fantastic. She was so funny. I totally agree that she was kind of the standout in terms of like people I didn't know going into this. She was really up there.
And I feel like her and Theo James' chemistry, like despite the fact obviously that they were doing some, you know, pretty questionable things to one another, they still had this love and obsession for one another as well. Like, they weren't, like, just a superficial couple. Like, they also somehow made their dynamic, the chemistry was sizzling.
It really was.
Between so many of them.
Between so many of them. I thought Aubrey Plaza was phenomenal. I thought she was so incredible.
Flawless.
I feel like some people, I mean, now I think she's so many people love her, but I think she's such an obviously specific sort of person where she's the type of actress you either are into what she's doing or she's not. Like, she is wholly her own and original, and you can see how that some people, that might not be their flavor. But I felt like in this, she was really a sort of different version of that, where it was still her, and she was still, you could still see Aubrey Plaza and the choices she was making, and that's what made it interesting, was it was her take on it.
And that moment there was when she called out, like, Cameron said something and she was like, "You're such an idiot," and then, like, Ethan picked up on it immediately. I felt like her acting in that, like, she was so good at expressing, you know, a world of emotions in just one, like, ridiculous comment. And I feel like in that scene she gave not only to Ethan away that something had happened, but also just the whole audience.
Totally.
I feel like their chemistry was also sizzling.
It really,
I mean, that
yeah.
group before was so hot. How could they not have chemistry?
Completely. I also just adored Lucia and Mia, the Italian hookers. Just incredible. They were so good. I feel like, I mean, they were really having the most fun out of anybody on the show. I mean, they
absolutely
got to.
And apparently they're best friends in real life and auditioned together.
No.
Is what I believe that I heard it on Instagram. I don't remember the source.
Wow.
But
I hope
they
that's
were like
true.
On another show together, were best friends and auditioned together. Them winning everything at the end and coming out like completely on top with
yeah.
everything they want.
Yeah.
Is just. I mean, it was chef's kiss. How did you feel about Lucia and Albi? Did you think that she was going to play him?
Oh,
or did
totally.
You not think she was
oh,
play
I totally him? Thought she was going to play him.
Yeah, I did not believe that romance for a second.
No, no. I feel like it's a very sort of Gen Z kind of that age to be like, there has to be more. Like, I want more. I'm not settling. You know, there's this, like, kind of idea
yeah.
that, like, you know, Portia's on this lovely Italian vacation. She's barely working, and she's complaining that she, like, can't do anything. And it's so, you know, this,
the
like,
entire time.
Nice guy is right in front of her, and she has to go off with some crazy Essex Love Island wannabe dude, and no, didn't work out in her favor.
Which, I mean, Jack was also so hot, so
yeah.
Yeah. Could have happened to anyone.
Understandable.
I also feel like Albi wasn't surprised at all that he got played. Like, he seemed pretty unfazed by the whole thing. I feel like he knew it was a 50-50 chance.
Yeah.
And he also said he was, like, always getting hurt by girls. He seemed just pretty nonchalant about the entire thing.
Yeah, and I also feel like it was a realization for him that he is just like his father and his grandfather. And even though he was trying to be like, no, I'm different, she really likes me, in the end, he was like, okay, I'll give you $50,000. And then, like, you know, that's it. And just kind of try to clean up the mess I made, in the same way that, you know, his cheating father and grandfather would do. R.I.P. Tanya. Ugh, I just wish that every season was her going to these, you know, White Lotus hotels. But I also thought it was a hilarious and great ending, and I know some people didn't like it, but I really thought it was kind of perfect.
I loved it. Number one, she, this season, when she thinks that Greg is cheating on her, or, like, something's going on, and she, like, demands the fortune teller psychic, that absolutely killed me.
Yeah.
I feel like I would do the same.
Mm-hmm.
Just everything about her leading up to this, but then when she puts it together, you're, like, so proud of her. But then she just opens the door and starts willy-nilly shooting. I was just like, wait a minute. I feel like, because we don't actually know. I mean, we know, but we don't actually know with 100% certainty. And, like, she just fully is shooting not even looking, not even trying to get answers from anyone.
No.
The only thing she was saying is, like, is Greg cheating on me? Yeah. Quentin, just like, but like, doesn't even care. Like, can you imagine, obviously, I hope, like, just murdering people just without question.
Just shooting willy-nilly. I mean, she just, it makes so much sense, and the whole time as it was leading up to the finale, not that I was trying to figure it out the whole time, because I wasn't, which I think is actually the sign of a really good show, that you sort of forget that that's even part of it, and you're just sort of involved in the characters and the story, and then you kind of remember at the end. And I was like, oh, it's obviously Tanya that's gonna die. The gays are gonna kill her. They love her too much. It doesn't make sense. They're too nice to her. And then, the Greg photo, I was like, oh, okay, of course, here we are. And then I thought, well, maybe that's too easy. Maybe it's a red herring. Maybe, I don't know. But the first season, you know, that murder was not a huge twist. I mean, that they were leading towards that in a way that made sense. So even though, you know, I wasn't so surprised that it was Tanya who was ending up in the murder mystery, the fact that she could have gotten out of it and then was so derpy, Tanya panicked, like, out to lunch in another universe, that she just fell out of the boat was iconic. Out.
When there would have been stairs somewhere.
Would have been just stairs. Anywhere. Yeah, could have just, like, jumped and swam to shore.
Could have just actually taken her shoes off, though.
Yeah, that would have been easier. Oh.
But it was flawless. And Mike White's just kind of explanation that he was like, it would have been way too sad and too down to have anyone kill Tanya, but to have her, like, accidentally kill herself was just
the only way to do it.
I will say that when Quentin originally told the story of how he, like, fell in love with the cowboy, and the cowboy, like, was married to a woman, and he was an American, I said to the people that I was watching the show with, I bet the cowboy is Greg.
There you go.
And everyone was like, that is a wild hypothesis. Then, like, more and more, it was like, okay, obviously Greg is, you know, with these men. But I did call it.
I love that. I started to...
There's no proof out there, but...
No, you just knew. You had a feeling. You knew where Mike was taking us, and I love that. Yeah. I started to feel similarly. I was like, I just knew something was going on with the high-end gays, and I was like, this doesn't look good for Tanya. It's too good to be true.
Yeah. You're like, no one just... These fabulous gay men don't just rescue you and take you away and give you this perfect life. Sadly. I mean, we all want it.
I wish. That sounds incredible.
And the one being from Emily in Paris.
Oh, yeah.
You're just like...
the Frenchest man to ever exist, by the way.
And I'm like, I would go anywhere that man told me to.
Yeah.
I know that good, fabulous things are with him.
100%.
I have to say that my friend told me when we were watching it that she thought that, like, each thing in the intro, like, each part of the painting that aligned with the name, like, was related to that character.
Ooh.
So then I started paying attention. And then we started to notice that certain things were, like, predicted through the theme song. Like,
really?
Like, in little ways in the art. Of the theme, number one, that song, I, like, want it to be played at my wedding. I want to, like, walk down the aisle to it. I don't know. I am obsessed with it.
It's so good.
But the art, I want to say, like, either Daphne or Will Sharp, Ethan's character, basically just anyone listening to this podcast, watch the theme song and watch the names align with the pieces of art, and you'll see that they all make sense.
Oh, my God. Ooh, I love that.
Also, from scratch, was Zoe Saldana. He was from Sicily, and a lot of it was filmed in Sicily at the end. So, I feel like that area of Italy better brace themselves.
Because
the Americans are coming.
Oh, boy.
And probably more.
Well, speaking of, and now we can pivot to From Scratch and beyond. I didn't watch that, but I usually watch Reese... You know, where Reese tells me to go,
Hello,
I go.
Yes, Hello Sunshine.
How was it?
I mean, I will say, so I was looking for more of, like, another escapism, beautiful environment. Like, I kind of thought it was just a romance.
Mm-hmm.
It is a heartbreaking story. Like, I would say for the last, I think it's, like, 7 or 8 episodes, for the last 4, I just, like, sobbed my way through it.
In a good way? In a cathartic way or no? Oh, you would not recommend?
Oh, no. I would recommend it. I would recommend it. If I would not recommend it if you're, like, already you know, in a bad place. Mm. I feel like you have to be, it is beautiful. It's like a beautiful love story and it's all true. This one, it's all based on her memoir, but there is, it's much sad. It's just like a love story that kind of has a tragic ending. This is a spoiler, but it's still worth, like, there's enough beauty and, like, goodness. It's a very much like a family drama that just happens to be based on parts of Italy. And then it's kind of all about how these families from completely different backgrounds come together.
Interesting. Okay, well, maybe that won't be at the top of my list. I feel like during the holiday season, I'm only looking for, you know, the feel goods.
Yeah. Like not, a rainy January day.
Yes, that's when I want to watch it. I also, just in terms of things I don't really, would not put at the top of my list as a recommendation, I know that anyone who hasn't watched it probably isn't going to, because if you were a fan of Game of Thrones, likely you have watched House of the Dragon. I thought it was kind of bad. I thought it was really boring. I thought it was, like, very mediocre. It wasn't bad. I wouldn't say it was bad. That's being harsh. I thought it was incredibly mediocre. I thought the two actresses at the center were great, but I really did not think it was very good, and I think that people just had, like, a bias because of Game of Thrones, and they loved being in the world, which is fine. They needed it to be good. I don't think that it was, and that is all I'll say about that. Hot take.
Well, it does have our Prince Philip from The Crown. Yes. Matt Smith. He was the main guy. How's he in it?
He's great. He's very funny. I also, one thing that we tried to watch and we both, I don't know if you finished it. I could not get through it. Was Conversations with Friends.
Oh my God. Now, I mean, you guys know we started our podcast because of Normal People. It was like our favorite thing ever. And we were pumped about Conversations with Friends. I did finish it. I did not like it at all.
Yeah.
I think also this never works out well for me when, like, the expectations are so high.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't find any of the characters likable. That, I feel like that was my problem.
Yeah, I just was kind of bored, and I didn't think any of them were that interesting, or I don't want to be rude, but I thought the main... Sasha Lane. I couldn't watch her. I just found her totally unwatchable.
I just did not like any of the characters, and I didn't really care if they ended up together. I wasn't really rooting for any of the love stories.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually thought they were all kind of bad people, like, messing with each other's lives. I thought the main character was, like, really selfish.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, that's so hard because we cared about the characters in Normal People so much.
So much.
I'm still thinking about them. I'm still caring about them.
Of course, always.
They have our whole heart. And, yeah, so it was a letdown.
That was a letdown. Do you know what I also thought, and if we're just going with hot takes right now, I thought it was also, again, fine. The Bear. I did not think The Bear was... I wouldn't even put it on my list of top of shows of the year. Like, I thought it was fine.
Okay.
And that's all.
I don't agree with that take.
Okay.
Specifically, I love Jeremy Allen White. I love him so much. I loved him since Shameless. I loved the other chef who was apprenticing with him.
Yes, I did love her.
Then started... I did watch the show when I had COVID, so I was really going to hold on to anything at that point, so that could be why.
Mm-hmm.
But I also, you know, worked in a restaurant environment where everything, like, there were just constantly fires to put out, and it was very low budget and trying to figure out how to keep the place afloat. So I fit, not a restaurant, really, an ice cream parlor. But I feel like the fast pace, like, there is just nothing like the service industry when a restaurant is open or, like, when a place is open. It's just so fast moving and there's, like, no time to think. And if you, like, are 15 minutes behind schedule, everything is a disaster. And I feel like they really got the stakes of, like, every single night in a restaurant pretty well.
Well, I agree. I like Jeremy Allen White. I thought he was good. I loved the actress who played Sydney. I thought she was good. I loved the actor who played Richie. Also great. I liked them all. My thing with it was that, and like, yes, the pace was really urgent, and they did a really good job of sort of showing what, like, a sort of behind the scenes of a restaurant is. So I totally agree with that. My problem with it was that I was like, they are not the... And I know it's the point, in a way, of he's coming to this restaurant from a fine dining mm-hmm. background, and he's there to sort of, like, whip it into shape. But we never see the restaurant. Like, we see the kitchen, but there's never... I don't know what the dining room looks like. I don't know... Who's eating there? It's a sandwich shop. Why would a sandwich shop even be that busy, and you're getting out orders to get them to customers who... Are there even tables in that restaurant? Like, it doesn't appear that way. It looks like there's just a counter.
I think there's, like, casual tables. Because I feel like that's why I'm like, have, like, staff meal.
Right. But a casual table does not make for that, in my opinion, the environment with which they were working in the kitchen. Like, I didn't think that there was enough of a bridge between the kitchen and the chefs and the, you know, line cooks and all of that with the actual environment of the restaurant. So I didn't think that those were connected enough for me to care about what was going on in the kitchen, because, like, I know nothing about the restaurant, and they're not even making it seem like the restaurant is, like, that busy. Like, I just thought it was very weird to focus so much on the kitchen that we lose the restaurant. I was like, I don't care about the steaks because I have nothing. The steaks of what? Like, I don't know anything about the restaurant. You know what I mean?
I do like that feedback. I feel like it is true. Like, to see the customer, to see, like, the, you know, joy the food's bringing people, or, like, why this is such a famous sandwich shop, or if it's such a famous sandwich shop, like, how maybe the second season.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there was also that show Sweet Bitter
mm-hmm.
that was on Stars.
Yes.
It starred the girl from Yellow Jackets, who I love, and Tom Storage. But that was all about, like, the front of the house restaurant and not so much about the kitchen. And mm-hmm. I feel like they're a good complement of each other. I'm wondering if the bear just didn't want to be as much like that, like a glamorized version of the... I mean, it's not as glamorized, but it is, because, like, you're getting kind of the romantic side of the staff, and, like, the white, you're getting the front of the house, so you're getting, like, the pretty part of the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this was, like, they were didn't want to be too close to that, so they were like,
yeah,
let's just show the kitchen.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. That was just my feeling. But, you know, it was I watched the whole thing. I thought there was some good standout episodes, and I enjoyed it. I was just like, people were acting like it was the best show they'd ever seen in their lives and the best thing that's on TV. And I just was like, I don't think this is the best thing on TV.
Don't think it was the best thing on TV. Loved it. Maybe the people that are watching it, like, know something more about the industry than we do.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is such a good commentary.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Another thing that I did really enjoy, I didn't think it was the best thing on TV, but I did enjoy it, was Hacks season 2.
Yes. Loved it. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Laughed the whole time.
I didn't need the first episode. I feel like they should have just cut the first episode, which was kind of exactly after the first season ended, and you see, you know, mm-hmm. the back and forth when she finds out about the email. And I was like, we kind of seen this already in the previous season.
Well, she just made up. She knew that she hated her. Like, this was not a surprise.
Yeah. But I did enjoy it. I thought it was, you know, a pretty solid second season. I don't think it was as good as the first season, but I think that's, you know, can be hard to do.
And I loved the bus tour.
Yes.
I feel like that just gave us a different setting. Because the first setting, Vegas, was so exciting, but, like, we weren't going to be, like, they relied on that for a lot of the entertainment. And I feel like then doing a tour just kind of took us to a totally new place and a whole new adventure. And I feel like that was a very smart decision. I loved the episode they were on the cruise ship. I wish I saw more of her poker dealer this season. That's, like, probably my biggest complaint.
Yes.
I was so glad she came for one episode.
Yes.
But she was, like, one of my very favorite parts of the first season. So I wanted more of her.
Yeah. Maybe we'll have her more next season.
you do not watch my favorite show of the year. I mean, I keep saying this about shows, but Abbott Elementary, I believe the hype. It kills me. This is its second year. It essentially is a mockumentary office type, but about Philly elementary school teachers in like this school that basically has no funding. So they are constantly trying to figure out how to give these kids the best education. And it is just so good. I mean, Quinta Brunson, she's just incredible. She is so talented, and the entire cast is absolutely hilarious. There's like generation gaps because we have the older teachers and we have the younger teachers.
I have to watch. I know I'll enjoy it, and I know I'll like it. I just haven't gotten around on it, but it's definitely on my list. Do you know what I just remembered that I watched the first season of, and I started the second also, which I think the second one aired this year, so I started the first one right before. Kevin Can Fuck Himself with Annie Murphy.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Which I was reminded because...
How was that?
Well, it was interesting. I mean, I was reminded because we were talking about, you know, a sitcom, and I keep wanting to say Kevin Can Wait, which is the show that it's kind of, like, mocking in a way, but it's sort of mocking a whole sort of... That type of sitcom that existed for a long time. It's a very cool concept because it sort of takes place, in that sitcom world. And then we also see the actual real life kind of version of the character when, you know, she goes off the set and into her own life. And then we see kind of the other side of this character when Kevin's not around. So it's a cool concept. I do think, though, after a couple episodes, I was like, okay, I kind of only want to live in the more real, gritty, interesting world. I'm kind of less...
Yeah.
I don't need these transitional scenes of the sitcom with the laugh track, and it just doesn't really move the story forward. So I'd be like, all right, let's get back to the good stuff. But I do just love Annie Murphy.
Well, I was excited for her to try something so different. Mm-hmm. And I feel like she did a good job of transitioning into comedy and drama, mm-hmm. and like trying something wildly un-Alexis.
Yeah.
I mean, my favorite show is coming back. I can't say favorite show anymore. This is one show that I enjoy watching,
mm-hmm.
Emily in Paris, absolutely hated the last season,
yeah.
is coming back, so I will be watching that.
Fair.
So I'm trying to go to Paris soon, so I must.
Yes, yes.
I must get some inspo. You got to visit the set of my beloved Yellowstone recently. That show is in its fifth season. I am loving it. This season it's like clearly blown up, so the budget is... Like, you can just tell the budget, the scale, the scope is bigger.
Mm-hmm.
But it still has that, like, Dynasty Dallas, like, soapy drama, which I absolutely adore. But also with, like, beautiful landscapes and horses. And I love the cowboy.
What I will say is if you are loving the cowboy life, this is not exactly that. But I just started today a show called The English on Amazon with Emily Blunt, and it is fantastic. You have to watch. I had not even heard of it. I'm only watched the first two episodes, so I can't confirm, but I think there is a love story that's a brewing. The costumes are phenomenal. Both of us love Emily Blunt so much that I feel like you have to watch it because she's so fantastic in this and everything.
Well, right when you said the year, I was a little concerned because I watched 1883 because it's obviously the prequel to Yellowstone, mm-hmm. thinking that it would be like a similar fun Western vibe. It was not. What I realized is no one was cut out for the Oregon Trail. Nobody could make that journey.
No.
Especially, it was like the goriest, darkest, like I saw things that I never needed to see. It was not Dynasty Dallas-esque. Right. 1923 is starting tonight.
Ooh.
And they get, I don't know how Taylor Sheridan does this. He has Faith Hill. He has Tim McGraw. This season, he has Harrison Ford. He has Helen Mirren.
Insane.
I just don't understand. Kevin Costner is obviously incredible. He just has such an empire. We didn't talk about the most important show that's come out recently, the docuseries.
Oh my God. Well, I haven't finished it yet.
I think
so
we have to do a separate episode.
Yeah, there's so much to unpack.
So many thoughts.
We need a whole...
Obviously just opinions, not truth. I feel like we have to preface that.
Right. There's a lot to discuss.
Some other honorable mentions. Tell Me Lies. Incredible. If you're looking for like a teen drama, not as good though as The Summer I Turned Pretty, which was like one of my favorite teen dramas I've seen in years by the same people who did To All the Boys I Loved Before. Just 10 out of 10 on that one. We have Succession coming back. We have Bridgerton coming back.
Yes, and yes.
We have Never Have I Ever coming back. Riverdale. Any fans out there? If you have any recs, let us know out there. Thank you guys for joining. We have missed you.
We'll talk to you so soon.
And happy holidays.
Happy holidays.